Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may grab your Bibles here tonight and worship team, you may take your place. Tonight I want to talk to you about trusting God. Amen. Trusting God.
Amen.
Amen. And I have two verses I'm going to be looking at. First verse is in Psalms 125, verse 1 and 2, and then Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 30 through 31. Praise the Lord. We're excited for this weekend. Amen. We have a great weekend. Amen. This weekend, tonight here at service, and then tomorrow we're having her Future Matters event. Amen. So all the ladies that will come out, amen, and minister to a lot of the broken women, amen, that have been abused, amen. They're going to be coming in tomorrow here all day from, I think, to 10 to 4 or something like that. And so it's going to be a great event. Amen. So, ladies, you want to come serve. Amen. It's going to be a great time tomorrow for that event, Her Future Matters. And then also Sunday, we have a communion Sunday. Amen. We have communion Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we are having the drama. Amen. So it's going to be a great weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord. But tonight, here we are, Fired Up Friday. Is anybody fired up?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 125, verse 1 and 2 says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore." And then turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 through 31. It says, "Even the youth may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our lives here tonight. God, I pray, God, that you would, through this preaching and teaching, God, that you would elevate our trust in you. Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of Jesus, and everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated here this evening. There are many blessings that come when you trust God. When you trust God, when you learn to trust God, you will be a blessed individual.
Amen.
When you learn to trust God. If you want a blessed life, you have to learn to trust the Lord. Amen. You want a blessed marriage, you got to learn to trust the Lord in your marriage.
Yeah.
If you want to be blessed financially, you're going to have to learn how to trust God financially.
Yeah.
You're going to have to learn how to trust God to do what we just did, which was give our tithes and give our offerings.
Right.
You will not be blessed until you learn how to trust God. In ministry, if you want your ministry to be blessed, if you want to have a blessed ministry life, then you got to trust God when it comes down to working in the ministry. You're going to have to really trust God. How many want to be blessed?
Amen.
And tonight, this message is for you. Say amen.
Amen.
There's many blessings in trusting God. Tonight, I have a few of them here this evening that I want to share with you. There's three of them real quick that I have, or actually five of them. The first one is when you learn to trust God, you will find the blessing of being unshakable. Of being unshakable. Unshakable. Nothing will be able to move you. The verse says in Psalms, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion." I don't know what Mount Zion looks like. I've never been to Mount Zion. But I have been around a mountain before. Yeah. I grew up, matter of fact, I grew up around the only mountain around Dallas. It's called Mountain Creek. I'm serious. Matter of fact, me and the homeboys and the guys, we used to brag, you know, we used to, Mountain Creek side, you know. Nowhere else in Dallas or probably even Texas, in this side of Texas, are there mountains. But in my backyard, there was a little mountain. You know, California folks will say that's not even a mountain, it's a hill. But to us, it was a mountain.
Amen.
I haven't been around Mount Zion, but I've been around Mountain Creek.
Come on, yeah.
And if there's one thing that I can tell you about that mountain is that that mountain's never moved.
Yeah.
That mountain's never moved. I've been around other mountains. I've been around mountains in California and Colorado and Mexico, and I've never seen a mountain in the physical be moved.
Right.
I said in the physical. Amen. Because in the spiritual, I've seen a lot of mountains move.
Amen.
In the spiritual, God has removed a lot of mountains for me in my walk with Him. And me, in these 18 years of me serving God, God has removed many mountains for me. Has God ever removed a mountain for you?
Yes.
Huh? God has removed many mountains for you. When God removes a mountain from you, what that means is that God has done a miracle for you. Huh? Has God done a miracle for you?
Yes.
Huh? God moved a mountain in my life. I had a mountain of addiction before me at one time. I could not stop smoking weed. No matter how many drug tests, how many times I got locked up, you know, I could not stop smoking weed. I could not stop drinking. But God, one day, when He came into my life, He removed that mountain, and He took away the taste of marijuana, the taste of alcohol, and He delivered me, and He set me free. And it's been 18 years that I have not smoked weed, drank alcohol, snorted cocaine, smoked meth, smoked ice, popped acid. It's been 18 years that God has delivered me from that. And if God wouldn't have delivered me from those addictions, then I wouldn't be a blessed man. But because God removed that addiction from my life, I have a blessed marriage, I have a blessed family, I have a blessed ministry. I am a blessed man today because God removed that mountain. And here I am 18 years later with an unshakable faith. I have not been moving. Why? Because my trust is in God. When your trust is in God, come hell or high water, you will stand. Why? Because trusting God causes you to be unshakable. There's three areas there's three areas that you will be unshakable in. First of all, you'll be unshakable in your faith. When you trust God, the first area that you will be unshakable in is in your faith. In your faith.
Good.
In your faith. Your faith will be unshakable. Let me tell you something. You know, the enemy will try to come and shake your faith. But when you trust God, when you learn to fully trust God, your faith will be unshakable. I don't care what the Mormons tell you. I don't care what the Muslim tells you. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witness tells you. I don't care what your mama, your daddy, your granny, your neighbor tells you about God. Listen, you will have an unshakable faith. Because let me tell you something. When you get saved, there's going to be people that are going to come. Your family's going to try to come. Your friends are going to try to come. They're going to try to talk you out of your faith. They're going to try to talk you out of serving God. They're going to try to talk you out of going to church. They're going to try to talk you out of not doing what the Bible says. Oh, but when you learn to trust God, listen, your faith will be unshakable no matter what your family says, no matter what your friends say, no matter what the world says. You will have an unshakable faith. Because why? Because you're building your faith upon a solid rock, Jesus Christ. That's the type of faith I got. That's the type of faith you need. You need a faith that is unshakable.
Yes.
Hmm? An unshakable faith. Then you will have an unshakable life. See, then when you have an unshakable faith, it will lead to an unshakable life. Huh? An unshakable life. I've been serving God for 18 years. I put that on Facebook this week. 18 years straight. Huh? I haven't been in and out of the church. I haven't straddled the fence. Huh? I've been serving God for 18 years straight.
Amen.
Huh? For eight of those years, going on eight of those years here in August, for eight of those years, it's now been serving God here in Victor Arch Grand Prairie as your pastor, pioneering the church.
Come on, man.
That's my life.
Yeah.
My life is a Christian life.
Amen.
My life is a life of ministry. My life is a life of service.
Amen.
Huh? My life is unshakable. Huh? There's people that can testify
They can say, that's right, he's been serving God for 18 years. Man. Because we seen him in the ministry. We seen him serving God for 18 years. This is my life. You know where to catch me on a Friday night. Right. You know where to catch me on a Sunday morning. Yeah. You know where to catch me on a Sunday night. And in between, you know where to catch me. I ain't too hard to find, my friend. You know why? Because I got an unshakable life, my friend. I got an unshakable life. And an unshakable life comes from trusting God. And trusting God comes in prayer, my friend. Because I got an unshakable prayer life, my friend. You need to have an unshakable prayer life, an unshakable devotional life. What does that mean? A reading life, that you read your Bible, that you pray. Come on, somebody. Because that's the only way you're going to learn how to trust God, is through prayer and reading the Word. You will learn how to trust God through my preaching, but only to a certain extent. It's until you start to read the Bible and start to pray every day will you have an unshakable life like I do. An unshakable life. It's an unshakable life. You cannot shake my life with God. You cannot shake the lifestyle that I live. You cannot shake it. I live a lifestyle. There is a lifestyle that I live, my friend. And you cannot shake that lifestyle. What is that lifestyle? A lifestyle of prayer. A lifestyle of loving God. A lifestyle of loving people. A lifestyle of winning souls. A lifestyle of evangelism. A lifestyle of preaching. That is my life, my friend. And for 18 years, it's been unshakable. And it will continue to stay unshakable. You know why? Because I'm learning to trust God. I have learned to trust God.
Yes.
Not only do you have unshakable faith and unshakable life, but you know what else what will be unshakable? Is your future.
Yeah.
Your future. When you learn to trust God, your future will be unshakable.
Right.
Huh? Your future will be unshakable.
Good.
Huh? Listen, what I'm doing here today was something that God put on my heart, that God caused me to see with the faith, with my eyes of faith 18 years ago when I was in a jail cell. Come on, somebody. When I was right there locked up and I was a Christian, I was saved, and I was reading my Bible and I was praying. God showed me this in a vision. And listen, I grabbed a hold of that and I stood on the promises of God, my friend, and I learned to trust God. And I said, God, man, he said, if you continue to serve me, if you surrender your life to me, that's what trusting God is. Trusting God is to surrender your life to him with no strings attached, my friend. That's what trusting God is. You surrender completely to the will of God. And I learned, he said, listen, if you surrender, then listen, this will be your future. You will have a good future. You will preach the gospel. You will help many. You will reach many drug addicts, many gang members, many prostitutes. You will reach many treasures out of darkness. You will have a good family. You will have a good ministry. You will have a blessed life. In other words, what was he saying? He's saying your future is secure when you learn to trust me. And when you learn to trust God, your future is secure.
Yes, amen.
Your future will be unshakable.
Come on.
When you learn to trust God.
Amen.
So there's a lot of blessings in trusting God.
Right.
The second one is protection.
Amen.
Protection. The scripture says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forever.
Amen.
So the Lord surrounds his people.
Huh?
The people that trust him will be surrounded by God.
Amen.
Huh? I've been surrounded a lot of times.
Hello.
Huh? I've been surrounded by my enemies.
Yeah.
Frenemies.
Come on.
I've been surrounded. Huh? I've been surrounded a lot of times. Come on, somebody. Huh? Dangerous times. But there's nothing like being surrounded by God.
Yeah.
Huh? There's nothing like being surrounded by God. That's what this verse says. Those who learn to trust God will be surrounded by Jehovah, will be surrounded by the Almighty. Listen, that's what happens when you learn to trust God. You will have a protection. And that protection, my friend, is the best protection that you can have, because it's the protection that God provides. There's three types of protection: spiritual, physical, and emotional. Huh?
God will protect you in these three areas. He will protect you in the physical. He will protect you in the spiritual. And he will protect you in the emotional. Huh? See, before we were like a city without walls. This is why the enemy could come in and have his way with us. This is why the enemy came in and slapped us around.
Come on.
Huh? He slapped us around. Huh? He came in and just slapped. He slapped us around with addiction. Wow. He slapped us around with anger. Huh? He slapped your singleness around. He slapped your marriage around. He slapped your relationship around. Why? Because before we had no walls, we had no protection. The Lord didn't surround us. But now that you're learning to trust God, listen, God starts to surround you. And all of a sudden you have a protection. You have a spiritual protection, a physical protection, and an emotional protection.
Amen.
Huh? Because the Lord surrounds you. Huh? This is why, listen, you ain't got to be afraid because God's in your corner. God got your back. I've asked a lot of people to have my back, but there's nothing like having God to have my back. Huh? There's nothing like having God to have my back and to bring that spiritual protection, to bring that physical protection, and to bring that emotional protection. Listen, spiritual attacks are going to come. Physical attacks are going to come. Huh? That's why Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Because he knew that physical attack was going to come. Huh? An emotional attack will come. How many times, you know, this is for like my ladies. How many times did the enemy attack you emotionally? Huh? You got your heart broken in two, in five, in 10, 15 pieces. Huh? Some ladies, they came in all messed up because the enemy just kept on attacking them emotionally. Huh? You know, their emotions were all messed up. Huh? Guys too, not just women. But the enemy just had his way with your emotions. Huh? Why? Because the enemy comes and attacks. And listen, just because you get saved, those attacks don't stop.
Right.
They don't stop. The enemy will still come in and attack you spiritually, physically, and emotionally.
Oh, come on.
The attack will come. But when you trust God, it won't succeed.
Amen. That's right.
Huh? When you trust God, it won't succeed. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah says this in 54 verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Listen to what it says. It says no weapon formed. That means the attack is going to come. It's going to form, but it's not going to succeed.
Wow.
It's not going to succeed. So the attack's going to come, but it won't succeed.
Amen.
Why? Because you have the protection of the Lord. Why? Because you're in better hands in all states. Huh? Because you got godly insurance on your life.
Huh?
See, sometimes that's how it is. You know, sometimes faith in God and trusting God is like insurance. Because trusting God, you know, it's almost like trusting God is like you got to pay for it. You know how you pay for it? Through prayer, through Bible reading, through tithing and giving your offering, through serving. That's how it's kind of, you know, salvation is free. Everything has a cost. Everything else has a cost. You know, because when you don't do those things, you don't trust God. When you don't read your Bible, when you don't pray, you don't have the ability, you don't have the capacity to trust God. But when you pray and when you read, your capacity grows to trust God. Huh? See, but when you don't pray, when you don't read, there's no way you're going to be able to trust God. You're not going to be able to trust God. You're going to trust man. You're going to trust the world. You're going to trust sin. You're going to trust drugs. You're going to trust everything else, but you're not going to trust God.
Wow.
And the proof is that you continue a life of sin. The proof is that you fall into those things.
Come on.
When you learn to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
When you learn to trust God, my friend. All of a sudden, you know, you're putting in time in prayer. You're putting in time in the Word. Huh? You're putting in time in the Word. And what happened? The payoff for that is trusting in God. The payoff
of spending time in prayer and time in the Word and time listening to the Word and giving and serving is that your faith in God grows, my friend. Your trust in God grows when you do those things. This is why it's important that you're just not a hearer of the Word, but you're a doer of the Word. You just don't hear about prayer, but you pray. You just don't hear about fasting, but you fast. You just don't hear about reading the Bible, but you read the Bible. You just don't hear about giving, but you give. And every time you do that and you step out in obedience and you watch God come through, your faith level grows.
Amen.
And you start to experience the blessing of trusting God. Huh? So you get this godly insurance, you get this Jehovah insurance upon your life, and it's almost like insurance, because you pay into insurance, right? You pay, and you're like, man, I'm paying all this money for my insurance, but I ain't even using it. But when you need it, you must not got insurance.
Wow.
Some of you guys driving with no insurance.
Wow.
You driving with no insurance. Huh? And when you get into a little fender bender, when you get into a wreck, when you shipwreck, when you car, you sure wish you're gonna have it.
That's right.
You sure wish you had it.
Right.
Huh? You know, some of you don't have insurance because you look at us that do pay insurance like chumps.
Mm.
Huh? Man, I'm saving money. I can't believe you're giving $300. We pay like close to $400 in insurance. And a car insurance only. You know, if we count all the other insurance, my God. You know, $600, you know, $700. I'm getting depressed thinking about it. You know, and it's like, man, you know, we got insurance, you know, insurance. Now, you know, if you got a family, you know, kind of clumsy, you don't know how to drive, then you use it. Hello, somebody. Amen. But then there's that insurance that you just like don't use, right? Come on, somebody. I ain't gonna say because I don't want to use it. Like, I've been paying into that insurance and I've never used it once.
Hello.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, but when something happens,
come on.
And you got it, oh, you're like happier than 10 clowns.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Huh?
That's right.
That's how it is sometimes with serving God. It's like you pray and you give and you're giving and you're serving and you're giving and you're praying and you're reading your Bible, and sometimes it feels like it ain't working, and sometimes it feels like it ain't happening, and sometimes it feels like you're not reaping the benefits. Oh, but when that day comes, oh, when finally God decides to open up the floodgates of heaven and you get blessed, all of a sudden you are thankful for the singles that day when you get married. You're like, thank you, God. I thank God that I learned to trust you in prayer and the Word in giving. Oh, come on, somebody, holler if you hear me tonight. If you understand, if you could peace, come on, talk to me here this morning. Talk to me here tonight. Do you understand the lips, the words that are coming out of my lips? You will have protection because the attack's going to come. Huh? The attack's going to come. They're going to come. Sometimes they're going to come nonstop.
Right.
But you know what? You ain't got to fret, because no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. It's going to come. The attack's going to come, but it ain't going to prosper.
Yeah.
It ain't going to succeed.
Amen.
It's not going to succeed.
Come on now.
Huh? Why? Because you learn to trust God. Huh? You learn to trust the Lord. You get protection. Then another blessing is not only unshakable, you're protected, but then another blessing in trusting God is strength.
Amen.
Even youth may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount, they will renew their strength. They will renew their strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you run out of strength. Sometimes I run out of energy. Huh? Listen, we're not Superman. I'm not super pastor. I get tired. Sometimes you run out of strength. Huh? But those who trust in God will have their strength renewed.
Amen.
Will have their strength renewed.
Come on now.
I'm a nap person. I'm sorry, but I take naps. Today, that sun was getting to me. I had an eight, drinking water. I was out there in the sun, moving couches. I got a headache.
I'm on now.
I got up early. For me, I got up early. I had a headache. I was out there. I was trying to put together my message. I couldn't concentrate.
Have you ever been that tired?
Yeah, sure. No energy. You can't even concentrate. Mm-hmm. Huh? I was like, man, go give me a Starbucks Frappuccino. Huh? And I said, but I already knew that thing ain't going to work. So I said, the only thing that's going to work. I'm that type of person. I don't nap. I hibernate. Anybody else heard like that?
Yeah.
I mean, 20-minute nap, right? 20-minute power nap. That's what they say, right? 20-minute, right? I'll go down for 3 hours. Wake up 10 p.m. Come on, somebody. Hibernate.
Hallelujah.
You know. But sometimes I gotta discipline myself. Like on Fridays, I can't. Because then I'll miss church. I gotta get up. Huh? But you know, I took a little nap, like 30, 45 minutes. And I remember, you know, for those of you in the home, you don't take naps. Going to the UTC, no naps. Come on, somebody. No naps. I was in the home, they didn't let us nap. We got disciplined if we napped in the home. We wouldn't nap, you know? You know, we'd be reading my Bible. I'd be like, you know that one, you know, like you're reading your Bible, you have your Bible, but you're like, really like, come on, somebody. You act like you're reading, kind of like when you're in school, you know, you're in school, but you're kind of, you know, come on now, you have the book hold up, but you're really like, closing your eyes, resting your eyes.
Come on, Pastor.
But I woke up, and I felt good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come on.
I had a renewed strength, a renewed energy.
That's right.
Huh? Good. A renewed energy. Huh? A renewed energy. And it reminded me of this verse. Those who trust in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Waiting on the Lord means trusting on the Lord, because it means not getting ahead of the Lord. It means not getting ahead of the Lord. Like singles sometimes get ahead of the Lord because they don't know how to wait for the right one. Come on, somebody. But if you learn how to wait on the Lord, that shows that you're trusting God. You're not playing hokey pokey and hanky panky. Come on, somebody. But you're waiting on the Lord. You're not sleeping around, kissing around, laying around, holding around. You're not doing any of that because you're waiting upon the Lord. You're learning to trust God. You're not putting the Mac down. Come on, somebody. You're not being flirtatious. Come on, somebody. You're not trying to read the Bible, the glow-in-the-dark Bible under the cover at night with her, with him. Come on, somebody. You're not late-night messaging with her. You're not late-night creeping with her. You're not late-night. You're not late-night texting with him. You're not on the phone with him. Why? Because you're learning to trust God. You're learning to fear God. You're learning to trust God with your singleness. Somebody say
amen.
You're learning to trust God. You're not getting ahead of yourself. You're not putting the cart in front of the horse. Because guess what? You ain't going to go nowhere. Ain't going to go nowhere. You learn to trust the Lord. Learn to trust God. Huh? And when you learn to wait, you know what happens when you, you know when you know what you can do when you wait? You can take a little nap.
Come on.
Good things happen when you take a nap.
Yeah.
You get up with more strength.
Amen. That's right.
And if you're a lucky single man, God will operate on you and put out a rib.
Hey.
Like he did Adam.
Amen. Amen.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened? Bible scholars, you?
Huh?
Well, how did he bring Eve to Adam? He put him to sleep and took her out of Adam, and she brought him to him and said, name her. And what did he say? He says, wow, man. What I say when I see my wife. I say, whoa. Who's sexy mama? I can say that. She's my wife. Huh? Good things happen when you take a nap. Your strength is renewed. It's like, Josh, that brother was single for 5 years in the home. Huh? Then he got married. You know what? Didn't you get like a renewed strength now?
Yes.
He's like happy now. He wasn't happy before. He's like happy now. He's like, man, Pastor, I run the home for 15 more years, man. Right?
Right.
Come on, buddy. A renewed strength. You know, his next marriage is to his city.
Yes. Amen.
His next marriage is to his city.
Amen.
He got married once. He got married Asenet. But his next marriage will be to the city. Amen. You got to marry the city. You can't just date the city.
Woo, come on,
I just want to date the city. No, you got to marry the city. Right. Huh? You know, when you marry something till death do us part. Huh? Huh? You want to take a city, you have to marry it. Huh? But you know, when you it's like when you got married, you got a renewed strength. I know because that happened to me. Come on, somebody. I got saved. God didn't bring me a rib till 7 years later after I got saved. Got saved in the year 2000, got married in 2007. Huh? God had to renew my strength in those 7 years. But then when he finally brought her, ooh, I got I'll go anywhere, God. As long as I got her. As long as I got woman. I'll go anywhere. Send me to Africa, send me to China. As long as I can take her woman with me, I'm good. Huh? A renewed strength. When you learn to trust God. See, that's the problem. Sometimes when people can't trust God, they can't trust God, and they wind up on the poop out truck because they don't learn how to trust God. When you learn to trust God, my friend, you can serve God for the long haul, my friend. You will not burn out, my friend. Even though sometimes it may seem like your energy's low, my friend, you learn how to wait upon the Lord, and you understand that, like Sister Celeste said last Sunday night, it's just a dry season, but it's only a season, my friend. Another season is coming your way. A new day is about to dawn. It's going to be a new time that's going to come into your life. And in that new season, you're going to find a new pep in your step, a new smile on your face, a new preaching in your heart, a new song in your soul. And you'll be able to continue to serve God. Why? Because you found a renewed strength. Is there anybody here that's been strengthened by God? I don't know about you, but God has strengthened my life many times. And that's why I've been serving God for 18 years, because God has renewed my strength. And I'm going to preach the gospel with all the strength that I got, with all the might that I got, with all the passion that I got, behind the pulpit and on the streets.
Good.
See, what happens is that you catch your second wind. Huh? It's you catch your second wind. I know you don't understand that because you don't run. And I don't either, so I don't really understand that. But I do preach. And sometimes when I preach, because I like to eat a lot of tacos. Don't laugh at me, because you do too. I like to eat a lot of tacos. I can lose my breath. My breath. Come on, somebody. Have you ever lost your breath? Huh? Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? Oh, but when I'm preaching and I'm losing my breath, oh, but all of a sudden the anointing hits, and all of a sudden I catch my second wind, and I can yell one more time. I can yell at you one more time. I can spit at you one more time. I can lift your faith one more time. I can encourage you one more time. I can rebuke you one more time. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. You hear me tonight? Strength. You catch your second wind. That's why you finish the race. Because you catch your second wind. Huh? That's why you got to finish your race. Huh? You're going to finish this race with God. You can't. Don't stop what you started. Finish what you started. You started serving God. Finish serving God.
Amen.
I don't like people that don't finish what they don't start. I mean, I don't hate them. I don't like them either. Huh? Finish what you start, man. I don't want you to cut half my yard of grass.
Hello.
I didn't hire you to cut half of my yard. Come on, somebody. I didn't hire you to fix half of my car. Come on, somebody. Finish what you started.
Amen. It's good.
Finish what you started. And the only way you're going to finish what you started is catching your second wind. is by being strengthened by God. I like this verse, Jeremiah 12:5. Jeremiah 12:5, write it down. It says, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, run for hope. If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, listen to what it says. How can you compete with horses? Huh? How can you compete? This is why I like to compete when it comes down to run for hope. Pastor, why do you want to be on first place and run for hope? Why do we gotta be in first place? Why do we gotta raise up thousands of dollars? Because I like to compete.
That's right.
Huh? It says it right there. It says, if you have run with men, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses?
Wow.
Huh? You know, in the level of our giving, we compete with some horses.
Hello, everybody.
Some old horses. Some other churches have been around a lot longer than us. Listen, it's okay. It's okay to beat all the churches that are our size. That's fine. You know, that's running with men. Huh? Running with men. Huh? But you know what? God has called me to be more than average. God has called us to be more than average. God doesn't call us to normalcy. I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit more. Huh? We're not normal people. I'm not your normal pastor. You're not a normal Christian. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you ain't a normal Christian. I mean, look at you. Huh? I mean, you ain't. I mean, people like us, people, you know, really, when they walk in, they, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for the pulpit and the stage and the, you know, they probably think it was a club. Come on, somebody. Or an AA meeting or something. Huh? Right? They come in, oh man, look at the club people. Come on now. Huh? Right? We're not a normal church. We're not a normal Christian. I'm not a normal pastor. God didn't call you to be normal. We're not supposed to be average. We're called to be above average. We're called to be radical in our faith. We're called to be radical in our preaching. We're called to be radical in our giving. We're called to be radical in our service. We're called to be a radical church that's going to make a radical change in the world. That's going to make a radical change in people's lives. That's what we do. We make a radical change in people's lives. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be normal. I want to have a radical faith. I want to have a radical life. I want to reach the world. I want to launch out churches. I want to reach treasures out of darkness. We're not a normal church. A normal church doesn't have a drama like Big Homie, like Picture Perfect. We're not a normal church. Another church says, what are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that because we're not normal. We don't reach normal people.
Right.
That's why unnormal things happen.
Hello.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why you'll come in and people will be throwing up sometimes. That's why you might even come and you might even see a scuffle sometimes. Huh? Come on now.
Yeah, come on.
This ain't normal. Huh? It ain't normal, my friend. Huh? That's why we'll fast and we'll pray, because it ain't normal. What do you mean you're not eating? We're not eating. We're fasting. We're praying. What are you going to pray all night? Yeah, we're going to pray all night. Oh, man, they didn't do that out of my other church. But we're going to do it here.
Hello.
So we're not normal. What do you mean you're going to go to the streets in 100-degree, 500, and 510-degree weather and have a rally? What do you mean? We're not normal. What do you mean you're going to go to the neighborhood? What do you mean you're going to go to the streets at midnight right now? 10:30, 11? Yeah, we're not normal. Huh? Trusting God. If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, why? Because you ran out of strength.
Come on.
Huh? Listen, you got to keep up with me, church.
Come on.
You got to keep up with us. Huh? You got to keep up with us. Huh? You got to keep up with me. You got to keep up with us. Huh? We're not foot soldiers. We're just not normal foot soldiers. Huh? Some people come, man, Victor is too radical, man. They want everything, man. I heard the pastor, he said he just don't want my tithe. He said he wants my blood too. I heard him. I recorded it. Huh? They want church Friday and church, and then they want us to come Saturday, and then they want us to stay after church Friday, and then come back to church Sunday morning and then Sunday night. Come on, somebody. Huh?
Huh?
Then they want Monday, again Tuesday, Bible study Wednesday, worship practice Thursday, back at church Friday. Then they want us to go to the streets. You know why? Because God wants your strengths.
That's right.
He wants your strength. You know why He wants your strength? Because He doesn't want you to have no strength left to sin. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
Huh? Come on now.
Hey.
Us. Amen. Come on now. Me.
Yeah.
Huh? I don't need no strength left, because if I got strength left, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on now. Don't leave me up here by myself.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on now. Huh? You know? It takes, you know, you don't need no good. You're worn out. Good. Go to sleep now.
Yeah.
Good. You don't have to stay up with her on the phone now.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay up with him on the phone now. Go to sleep now.
Yeah.
The problem is that you still have strength.
Wow. Hard.
I better calm down now. That's three, right? I got two more to give you. Fourth one, the blessing of trusting God. You'll like this one. You'll soar. You'll soar. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount with wings. They will mount up with wings like eagles. What do eagles do? Do they? Have you ever heard an eagle do that?
No.
That's why I don't do that. I don't race the rooster in the morning. Come on, somebody. When I was in the home, I did, but not no more. I used to live in a house, and my neighbor in back of me had roosters. Man, I wanted to buy a BB gun. Huh? Because, you know, if you're an early bird, that's fine. You go for it. Amen. But I'm an eagle. I may not but I soar.
Come on, man. Yes.
I said, I soar.
Amen.
I fly, my friend. Do you learn to trust God? You will learn how to soar like an eagle. Those that trust God will fly high, my friend. I didn't say get high. I said will fly high. Come on, somebody. I know you used to soar for the devil. Come on, somebody. When you were on acid, you were like, look at me, I'm flying. Huh? No, you were dying. Huh? You're all smoking weed. You weren't flying. You're dying. Huh? When you listen, when you trust God, you'll soar. You'll fly high. What does this mean? You'll accomplish great things.
Amen.
You will accomplish great things. While everybody's staying, while the chickens, while they're down here, nurring, cock-a-doodle-dooling. See, the problem is they make too much noise.
Wow. Oh, preach it.
You know, people that don't soar, they make a lot of noise.
Hello.
But people that really soar, they don't make noise. They just.
Oh, look at that. Revelation.
Yeah.
There you go. You know what they're doing? They're just looking at all the crazy ones making the noise. And they're enjoying the view.
Yeah.
They're enjoying the view, my friends. Huh? They're enjoying the view that God has given them because they learned to trust God. Huh? I got a beautiful view over here every Friday and every Sunday. Sometimes it's packed, sometimes it's not. When it's packed, I say I got a beautiful view. But I don't care about that. What I really trip on is when people come to the altar and start breaking before God.
Yes.
And I see them get saved.
and I see them come in one way, and I see them come in, their marriage on the verge of divorce. I see them come in hooked on meth. I see them come in hooked on ice. I see them hooked on weed, hooked on alcohol. I see them come in depressed, suicidal. Oh, but then I see them continue to come to God and continue to come to the altar and continue to come to church, and I see the transformation in their life, and then I see God raise them up, and I see them on the streets evangelizing. I see them in the ministry ministering. I see them being used by God. I see them going to the UTC. I see them going to Bethy. I get a front row seat, baby, of what God is doing in their lives.
Man.
You will do great things when you learn to trust God. I've been trusting God for 18 years, my friend, and we've been doing some great things. Yeah. We do great things here at Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. Great things are not about self, but great things are about other people. Yeah. Listen, you can try to get great things for yourself, but you're never going to be great like that. You will only be great when you learn how to make other people great.
Yeah.
That's doing great things. When you learn to make other people great.
Amen.
Huh? When you learn to help other people fulfill their calling, you'll soar. You'll soar. You'll accomplish great things. You'll do great things. We'll take the world for Jesus. Huh? Me and my wife have been able to come and build a church because we learned to trust God.
Amen.
Huh? We learned to trust God. Huh? We're young. We shouldn't be doing this, but we're doing it because we learned to trust God.
Amen.
We're going to launch out churches because we learned to trust God.
Amen.
We're sending people to DTC because we learned to trust
yes.
God. We're raising up thousands of dollars for world missions because we learned to trust God.
Amen.
We're going to preach. We're going to do all, we're going to do the ministry. We're going to do everything that God has called us to do. We're going to do great things. We're going to grow a mega church. There's going to be hundreds. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be reached through our ministry. Why? Because we're learning to trust God. We have learned to trust God with our life. And when you trust God, you will do great things. You will soar like an eagle, baby. You will see things that only an eagle sees. There's some things that an eagle sees that we don't see, but it's only until we learn to trust God that God's going to elevate us to another level. When you learn to trust God in your finances, God is going to elevate your finances to another level, and you're going to see things you've never seen before. Listen, you shouldn't be a homeowner because you're an ex-convict, because you're an ex-drug addict, because of all these things. But listen, it's going to happen because you learn to trust God with your finances, you learn to trust God financially, you learn to trust God spiritually, and you will soar, my friend.
Amen.
The last blessing is that you will have good health.
Amen.
They will mount up like wings and like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you faint, you ain't healthy, man. Come on, somebody. Even though sometimes I feel like fainting in the sun. But my point is this. Look. Proven. I've heard it. Christians live longer. People that pray live longer.
Amen.
The news said it. The world has said it. They did a study on Christians and non-believers. They found out that Christian people, they live longer. This is because they say, oh, because they meditate. I don't meditate, homie. I pray.
That's right.
Man, right. I cast my cares upon the Lord because He cares for me.
Right.
Huh? I ain't gonna be stressed about it. I ain't gonna worry about it. Let the chips land where the chips land. I'm gonna trust God. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is my protector. Come on, somebody. He is the lover of my soul. He's going to take care of me. And I just put my faith in God and I put my trust in God. And God got it. I ain't going to touch it. He's going to handle it. I ain't got to worry about it.
Because
I learned to trust God. So I ain't tripping. I trust God, man. So I ain't got to stress on it.
Good.
I ain't got to stress on it. And because you stress less, because you pray more, you live more.
Yeah.
You live more.
That's right.
You live longer.
That's good.
You live longer. So you have good health when you learn to trust God.
Amen.
You want to live long? Trust God.
Amen.
The piano player can come up. There's three levels of trust. Three levels of trust. The first level is trusting God for self. There's some people that trust God. They're on the first level. They trust God for themselves. They trust God for their bills to be paid. They trust God for their health. They trust God for their car not to break down. They trust God for their house to be okay. They trust God for them to get blessed. That's the first level. That's the shallow level, trusting God for yourself. Trust God for their own salvation. But that's the first level. That's the shallow. That's entry point level of trusting God. But you can't stay there. Some people do. They stay there. They stay at that level. And because they stay at that level, they'll never soar. They're just going to be with the chickens or the roosters. But the second level is trusting God for others. It's trusting God for others. Not only do you trust God for yourself, but now you trust God for yourself and you trust God for others. That's the next level of trust. It's the next level of faith. It's trusting God for others. See, when you trust God for others, you get involved into the ministry. You get involved into people's lives. You know, when you learn to trust God, God can trust you. If you don't learn how to trust God, God can't trust you. If you don't learn how to trust God, God can't trust you. Because if you don't know how to learn how to trust God, then you won't ever like give your tithes. So he can't trust you with his blessings. If you don't ever learn how to trust God, then when God wants you to change or do something and speaks into your life, he can't trust you because you don't trust him. So why is he going to speak to you if you don't trust him? He's not going to speak to you because you don't trust him, so why should he speak to you? You're not going to, if you don't trust him, you're not going to do what he says. So if you don't trust God, God can't trust you. And let me tell you something. If God can't trust you, man ain't going to trust you either.
Wow.
And this is for leaders.
Come on.
You need man to trust you.
Amen.
If you're going to lead effectively, if you're going to be a good leader, you need man to trust you.
Amen.
And the only way you get to that is by first trusting in God. You got to trust in God so that God can trust you to bring people into your life so that those people can trust you.
Amen.
And listen to you and follow you to Jesus. Why do you come to the church? You wouldn't come to this church if you didn't trust me and Sylvia. You wouldn't come listen to somebody you don't trust. But because you trust us, you come and you listen to us. That's what Pastor Ed said. He says, God has given us an anointing. God has given us an anointing to go into the neighborhood, into the barrio, into the ghetto, and we go into the place where the motto is, trust no one. Trust no, that's the motto of the neighborhood. You don't trust nobody. You don't trust no man. That's the motto in the hood. Because if you trust, you get jacked. You'll get taken advantage of. So the model of the neighborhood is trust no one. But Victory Outreach goes into the ghetto. Victory Outreach goes into the barrios. Victory Outreach goes into the projects. And we preach. And they begin to trust us. They begin to trust us. And they go to the home. And they come to church. And they put their trust in God. And we see a radical transformation take place in their life. And miracles take place. Why? Because we put our trust in God. And so therefore God starts to trust us. And he gives us the treasures out of darkness. And those treasures out of darkness begin to trust us. They begin to trust me as their pastor. Why am I here? Because I trusted my pastor with my life. I trusted Pastor Jesse and Sister Valerie with my life. They said stop dating a girl. I stopped dating her. They said, stop talking to her. I stopped talking to her. I was in the gigolo in the church, though. They told me to talk to a girl, and I talked to her. Huh?
They says, talk to her. And then they say, stop talking to her. I said, okay, which one do you want to do? I listened. I listened as a single man. I listened. I trusted. I trusted. You know, when I first started liking Sylvia, I just came to Pastor Jason to confess. I said, man, I like this girl. I've been praying, man. It's, you tell me what to do. You tell me to stop. Forget it. I'll do that. I'm a man under orders. I would have done it. He surprised me. He said, no, you guys are good for each other. Go ahead. Talk to her. Tell her you like her. She tells you, I hate you. Don't tell her I told you to tell her. I said, oh, okay. But he said, you know, he said, then later on we got married, and then he said, hey, I want you to go out and take a city. Go to Arlington. What do you think about Arlington? I said, well, Six Flags, Texas Rangers, that's what I think about Arlington. He said, no. What do you think about going to be the pastor? Taking a city. I said, whatever you want, Pastor, whatever you want. Huh? I'm just a squirrel in your world. He says, you're going. I said, amen, we're going. We're going, honey. You hear that? We're going. Pack your bags. I said, oh, where are we going to stay? Don't worry about that. You just go. Okay, we just went. Didn't know where we were going to stay. Didn't know nothing. We just went. God opened up the door for us to have something. Just trust God. Remember, trust God. Then one time, he said, just come into full-time ministry. Come into full-time ministry. Work in the office for me. Okay, all right, cool. Trust God. If it wasn't, I'm going to pay you this much. No, just come to the office. I said, all right, cool. Quit my job, went to the office, started working. Learn to trust God. Just by faith, live by faith. Live by faith. Live by faith. How many could you do that? Could you trust? I said, you know what, quit your job, come work in the office. Or go in the home, rent the home, man, help Josh in the home. That's the third level of trust. Trusting people through God. Is trusting God for yourself? Is trusting God for other people? Trusting people through God. Trusting people through God. You know why I trusted my pastor? Because I trusted God. I trusted God that God brought me to the right church. I trusted God that God brought me to the right pastor, the right man of God, the right woman of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
I couldn't question it. God, you brought me here. You guided me here. You put me under these shepherds. You put me under these spiritual leaders, under these spiritual parents. They are my pastors now. I trust that you don't make no mistake. Therefore, I will come and I will humble myself and I will submit myself, and there will be my spiritual leaders. He will be my spiritual father. She will be my spiritual mother. I will let them guide me. I will let them chastise me. I will let them rebuke me. I will let them get into my life, stir up the Kool-Aid. I'll let them into my life. Why? Because I trust you, God. But as I get close to them, I trust them even more. Three levels of trust. And that third level is a hard one. It's sometimes easy trusting God for self, because we want that. That's like, God, please build me out. God, please bless me. So it's easy. Then it gets a little harder for trusting God for others. That's hard. Man, see somebody come in all high and you're my next usher. I don't know how, but I'm gonna pray for you, man. That's hard. But then you think it can't get harder? Try trusting people. Try trusting people through God. That's even harder. You gotta learn to trust people through God. Because, you know, you have to trust people. You know why you have to trust people? Look around. Look around. Look around. All around. Look around. Stand up. Look all around. Turn around. Stand up. Come on. Don't be disobedient now. You see, you can't even trust me to tell you to stand up. I think I'm playing a trick on you. Look around. What's around? What's around you?
People.
People. People. People. What are you going to do? Walk around eggshells all your life? What are you going to do? Live with a lifted eyebrow all your life? Live in fear all your life? Do everything by yourself all your life? I didn't come in here by myself. I've had a lot of help along the way. Pastor Jesse did not get where he got by himself. He had a lot of help on the way. Pastor Sonny didn't get where he's at by himself. Billy Graham, nobody got there by themselves. Even Jesus had the 12 disciples. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, the horse. Even Michael had Knight. Oh, you don't know that one. I'm an 80s baby. In 70s,
Kit.
80s. Kit. That was his name, Kit. Yeah, I thought it was Knight, but Michael Knight. Anyways. My point is, you gotta trust people. You gotta trust people. Now, you have to have a balance in trusting people. Because you cannot just trust man all the way. You can't just, put all your trust in man. You can't put all your trust in man. You can't put all your trust in man. But you gotta trust man. You gotta trust man. Huh? How? Through God. Through God. Huh? It's like, right? Wave at me if you work at a job. Wave at me if you work at a job. You get a paycheck at the end of the week or at the end of 2 weeks, right? It's like they don't pay you till after you work, right? Huh? They don't pay you till after you work. You're trusting your boss that he's going to come through with that check. Hello, somebody. Come on, somebody, right? Because they can simply just hold check, right? But you're trusting that their word is bond. So therefore, you're putting in hours, overtime, you're giving your best, you're there working. Why? Because you're trusting in that. You're doing your part of the deal, and at the end of the week or by week, they're going to do their end of the deal. You have to trust God. You have to trust people through God. Through God. And guess what? If they burn you, trust God. Trust God. That all things work together for the good of those who love God, who've been called according to His purpose. All things work together for the good of those. That's a hard one right there. Trust God and others. And if they burn you, just trust God. As Christians, we must trust God and have a balance in trusting people. Have a balance in trusting people. You don't put all your trust in man. You put all your trust in God. But you still got to trust man. You have to trust me as your pastor. You got to trust the leaders. Leaders, the people got to trust you. But it's only going to come as you put your trust in God. God will trust you with people. When you put your trust in God, because you pray, you read, you study, you grow in the things of God, God will trust you. If God sees a growing leader, He will trust that leader with people. And the people will come around that leader, and the people will begin to put their trust in that leader. That's the type of leadership we need. A leadership that God can trust with people. But can God trust you with His nuggets? With His advice? With His marching orders? Where God says, look, I want you to go visit this person. Can God trust you with that nugget? Because that's a nugget. Because through that visitation could cover treasure out of darkness. Where God says, can I trust you with this ministry? I want you to do this ministry. Can I trust you with this ministry?
Or you say, no, I don't want to do that ministry. I'm not going to do it. So therefore, God can't trust you with that ministry. People need to trust us as leaders. But it's going to come as we trust God. To say, God, I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to sacrifice. Because what you're telling me to do is getting in the way of my personal ambition. What you're telling me to do is get in the way of my plan. What you're telling me to do is getting in the way of trusting God for self. I learned to trust God for self. I learned to tithe. I'm a good tither. You know, I trust God for myself. But you know, my trusting God for others is waning. Man, trusting people, trusting my pastor, trusting my leader. My pastor wants me to do this. My leader wants me to do this. Oh, but that's hard. You can't all the way distrust people. And you can't put all your trust in man either. There has to be a balance. Amen. Trusting God. Trusting God is a blessed life. It's a blessed life. I've been trusting God for 18 years. I've been trusting God. God says, you know what? Put your ambitions to the back and go take a city, man. Go take a city. Go start a church. Go do the ministry. But God, how am I going to raise my kids? But God, how am I going to provide for my wife? But God, how am I going to buy a house? But God, how am I going to buy a car? But God, how am I going to get health insurance? But God, how am my future going to look? If I would have done that, I'm not trusting God. When I say, hey, God, you know, that's what I'm going to do, God. Okay, I'll do that. I'll go into full-time ministry. I'll go take a city. I'll go. I'm going to trust you that you're going to provide for my wife. You're going to provide for my children. You're going to provide for my health. You're going to provide for me financially. You're going to provide the anointing. You're going to provide everything I need for life and godliness. Trust. That's what God has told me, to trust. Some people, they don't want to answer the call of God. They don't want to answer the call of God to the ministry. They don't want to answer the call to go take a city. They don't want to answer the call to go take a city. Because they're not trusting God. They don't want to answer the call to full-time ministry. They don't want to answer the call to any ministry. They don't want to answer the call to be a life group leader. They don't want to answer the call to be in the drama. They don't want to answer the call to be in the worship team. They don't want to answer the call to go to the streets. They don't want to answer the call for nothing. Because all they want to do is trust God for themselves. As long as I'm saved, you're shallow. You won't soar. So you learn to... Yeah, continue. I trust God. I trust God for myself, and I trust God for others. And God is still working on me and trusting people, but I'm doing a pretty good job at it. Because if I didn't trust people, guess what? I'd be everywhere all over this church. I don't trust you, Celeste. You might be in sin, so let me be the piano player. Have I ever said that? No. I don't trust you, Josh, because you might be in sin, brother. You're not preaching. Let me preach. Let me do all the pulpit work, Irvin and Josh, because you guys might be in sin. No. I trust them. I don't trust you, Joe, man. You probably curse the offering. You're not going to hold the bucket. And I'd be doing everything. But I learned to trust people. Because I trust God. I trust that God is working in their heart. Trust that God is doing a work in their life. They're not perfect, but I trust that God is doing a work in their life. And we release the ministry. We release the church. At least that's why I can go. I can go. I'll go and preach at another church. I won't be here Sunday. Because I trust my leaders. I trust that they're going to run the show. I trust the church that you're going to show up. Come on, somebody. Because you don't come. Well, listen, Victory Outreach has never been... We have never been a ministry that's been built upon personality. Pastor Sonny did not build Victory Outreach off of personality. You know what that means? That means this. When you go to our conferences, a lot of people have conferences. A lot of ministries have conferences. But you know how they build their conference? Through a name, through a personality. Benny Hinn's coming to town. So come see Benny Hinn at the convention. And that's fine, you know. People say, Pastor Benny Hinn's coming to town. Are you going to go? Are you going to go? I'll be like, I'm not sick. I'll leave that chair open for somebody that is sick.
Hello.
So
so that they can get their healing. What do I need to go for? I'm not sick.
Hello.
But you know what? Everybody flocks, and they're not even sick. My philosophy is just keep that seat open for somebody that is sick that needs a healing so that they can go.
Amen.
But you know, they go. Christians go. They flock because personality. Oh, baby. TDJ, Crippled Dollar, let's flock. You know, what's the lady's name? Yeah, your favorite lady. What's your name? Joyce Meyer. They flock personality. We have conferences. Our world conference, over 20,000. Huh? Mighty Men of Valor, Women's Convention, every year, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Do we bring in a big name? Homegrown preachers. Homegrown preachers from Victory Outreach. We may not be on TV. We may not be on TBN. You know, we may not be on Daystar. We're not be preaching on all those. Oh, but listen, the Victory Outreach people from all over the world flock into LA, flock into Ontario Convention Center by the droves, by the hundreds and thousands. And we go not because of a personality, but we go because we know the presence of God's going to be there. We go because we know the preaching's going to be there. The vision's going to be there. And we go to hear from God. We go to hear our marching orders. Huh? We don't go because of a person who's speaking. Huh? Who's speaking? No. No, we come for God. Huh? Come on, somebody. I can have Eli preach, but I'm not. But you'll still come. You'll still come. I can have man Frankie preach. You'll still come. Timothy, come on, somebody.
Amen.
Come for God. But I'm not, right? I'm not. They're not ready. Because huh? This ministry is not built on personality. It's built on the presence of God. We build on the presence of God upon the Word of God. And I'm not putting down the ministry. That's fine if they do that. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying, I'm making a point. Learn to trust God. Learn to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust Him in God. Trust God. Trust God. You know, you have to trust God to surrender your Isaac. You got to trust God to surrender your sin. Some people hold on to sin. They're holding on to sin. I remember that was me. I couldn't let go of selling dope. I couldn't let go of doing drugs. Because you know why? All my life I put my trust in smoking weed and drinking alcohol and in selling dope and in jacking folks and in robbing and in stealing. So when I got saved, it was hard because I was like, man, this is all the life I know. I don't know how to be sober. I don't know how not to be high. I don't know how not to sell dope. What else am I going to do? Go get a 9-to-5? I used to make fun of people with a 9-to-5. I don't need to work a 9-to-5, man. I'm a hustler. Be homie, right? That was me. But I had to learn to trust God and say, you know, I'm going to let go of dope dealing. I'm going to let go of the weed smoke. I'm going to let go of the alcohol. And I'm going to trust God that I'm going to be happy without the weed. I'm going to be happy without the alcohol. I'm going to be okay without selling dope. Some people, they struggle with trusting God because, like, man, I can't be happy if I don't have one or two. I need to have something in my system. I need to have, you know, two tall boys, three tall boys in my system. I can't be happy. I can't be sociable. I can't be sociable if I don't have a glass of wine. If I don't have a shot of tequila, I can't be sociable. I'm just quiet. Well, you're probably quiet because that's how God wants you to be. You're probably an introvert because that's how God wants you to be. A lot of times being an introvert is not all that bad. You know, it's probably good because your mouth won't get you in trouble. So maybe being quiet is a great thing. My problem is I talk too much. I got the biggest mouth in the church. Literally, I got the biggest mouth in the church. I talk a lot of noise and the devil gets mad. And sometimes people get mad too. I'm really an introvert. I'm really a quiet guy. Really. Really. I really am. You know, being a preacher made me a big mouth. But I got to be a big mouth. I got to be a big mouth for God. Because the devil got the big mouth. The devil got the big mouth, so we need to have a bigger mouth. We need to have a bigger mouth. But you got to trust God
to let go of your sin, to let go of your sin, and to know that, you know what, you're going to be happy without the alcohol, you're going to be happy without the marijuana, without the meth, without the clubs, you're going to be happy without it. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay without selling dope. You're going to be okay without that crazy. You're going to be good. You know, people ain't going to take advantage of you, man. You're going to be okay. Learn, that's part of trusting God. And when you learn to trust God, you'll have a blessed life. But if you don't learn to trust God, man, you're in for a rough one, man. Sometimes it's a process, too. Sometimes it's a process. You got to learn in the process. You know, it's like it's like getting in the pool. You got to take baby steps. Sometimes it's a process. It's a process. But don't give up. Don't give up. One step at a time. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop going to Bible study. Don't leave the home. Don't throw in the towel. Trust God. Trust God in ministry. Don't be afraid of the devil, man. Don't be afraid of the devil. Trust God. God's going to protect you. Some people get afraid. You know? Especially sometimes when we do dramas, people go, man, the devil's going to hit me. Man, you know what? God told me, quit scaring the people. You know, we got to be prayed up. Yeah, you got to be prayed up, but you should be prayed up anyways. Sometimes we say that, and that causes people to think, like, oh, just, they're going to get hit. What are we going to do, stop hitting? I ain't going to let the devil just beat me down, beat you down. I better be quiet because some of you are like doing the dancing now. Your feet are hurting, and I've been standing longer than you. And now your feet are hurting already. Capiche? Capiche? You got it. You hear me? You got it?
Yeah.
Lift your hands to the Lord. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, rabababa, yashakarabababa.